Greetings and welcome to the program. I want to talk to you this episode about men who dress up as women and demons. So those are the two things we're going to talk about, and let's just get into it. So I'm sure if you are aware, maybe you've seen it in your own community even, or seen it online. Obviously, we've seen men who dress up as women, you know, I guess they like to go by the name, they call themselves drag queens, you know. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of various different pictures where they have, you know, all this real thick makeup on, and it's like almost a theatric production type of costume. They got these big gaudy clothes and just stuff you would see like from the Hunger Games, from the district where they, the nice, I can't remember the name of it, but the nice district where they have all these crazy outfits and makeup and whatnot. And you'll see, you know, like I said, the makeup caked on the face, the crazy outfits, the crazy hairstyles that are really firm or put however. And I even saw one a little while back of a guy obviously dressed up as a woman, and he was wearing this, not a typical crown like you would typically see around setting on your head, but it like these gold spikes kind of going over, arching over the top of his head, crown-like, you know, and it was just not a delightful sight to see. It's very unsettling and disturbing to look at, let alone have these, what they call drag queen story hours, you know, in these libraries with children. It's just absolutely disturbing and insane and abusive to children. And I pray to God that this insanity comes to an end. And it will at some point. I just hope it's sooner rather than later. Nevertheless, there have been people who have commented, of course, Christian people, saying, man, this is just demonic, this stuff that's going on. It's definitely grooming and very opening the door to pedophiles and all that kind of stuff, and just demonic. And sometimes, you know, that term can maybe get thrown around a little bit more than it ought to when people call things demonic. Nevertheless, I think for this case, it is an appropriate term to call it demonic. And I want to take you into the scripture a little bit and maybe point out a few very interesting similarities I see between these drag queens, so-called, with some demonic creatures we see in the scripture. And for that, I turn to Revelation in chapter 9. And full disclosure here, I am what you would call a preterist when it comes to the book of Revelation, a partial preterist, or as I like to say, an orthodox preterist. And that just simply means that I believe many of the prophecies in Scripture have already been fulfilled in history. Not all of them. There, you know, the second coming of Christ has not happened, you know, and the resurrection of the dead is still to come. That's all in the future, which is what all Orthodox Christians have believed for really ever. But many of the things that people today think are in the future, I do not believe is in the future, but has already been fulfilled. And that's why we call it preterism. such as the book of Revelation. Many people believe the book of Revelation is about the end of the world or the end of time or the last 7-year tribulation period of history or something, you know, the end times, as people put it. And by and large, I disagree with that. I believe that the majority of the book of Revelation was future to the Apostle John when he was writing the Revelation, the book. Yet it was fulfilled and in our past. So future to the original audience, past to us. And there's a lot of reasons why we could go through and explain that. That's not really my purpose, and I didn't even mean to go on this long about it. But I did, so I'm sorry. But anyway, so I say that to say, when I read this section of scripture here from Revelation, I am not saying that the drag queen costumes and stuff and the demonic activity I believe is involved in that is a fulfillment of the book of Revelation. I don't believe that. I believe this prophecy that I'm about to read to you has already been fulfilled. I just see the similarities to see, man, yeah, this is consistent with demonic activity that we see talked about in Scripture. So in Revelation chapter 9, it begins, and really the last verse of chapter 8 into chapter 9, I'll just begin reading here. I might stop and give commentary along the way. In Revelation 8:13, and then after verse 13, it goes into chapter 9. It says, "Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet." We're in chapter 9 now. "And I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them." And this is really important here. Verse 7. "In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon." And so I'll stop there. There we have the first woe here of Revelation. And what happens, as we just read and you heard, there are these locusts, as they are described, who come up out of this bottomless pit, and they go and cause torment and harm on the earth for 5 months. And it described there, as I read, what their appearance looked like. Now, one thing to note about the book of Revelation is that it is the most symbolic book in all the Bible. And so there's a lot of symbolism going on here. I don't think this is literally locusts that literally, look like is described here. But these descriptions of what the appearance of these so-called locusts were like describes various characteristics of their I guess, power, you could say, that was given to them for a short time, or the characteristics of the things that they did, or the torment that they inflicted upon the people in the land. And so, just to kind of cut to the chase here, I think what's being described here is they come up out of the bottomless pit. Their king is called Apollyon. I believe these are the locusts here from the bottomless pit are demons who were released upon the earth for this special time. And by and large, as I mentioned a moment ago, Revelation, I believe, has already been fulfilled. And I believe that is mainly about the destruction, the tribulation and destruction that came upon Jerusalem, the apostate Jews, and the temple during the time from about 66 to 70 AD. And it's interesting that there are various, many people throughout history who believe this, many people today who believe this, and lots of good reasons for it exegetically, which I will not get into here at this point. That's not the purpose of this. But there are also interesting historical accounts that describe various aspects of the book of Revelation in ways that they see them happening, that happened during that period of judgment and tribulation upon Jerusalem from 66 to 70 AD. And like I said, I believe these are demons that is described here coming out in Revelation chapter 9. Nevertheless, it's quite clear that demonic activity has physical manifestations. Spiritual realities, just in general, have physical manifestations. We so often want to divide up the physical and the spiritual. People do it in more extreme ways or more softer ways. You know, some people talk about how the kingdom of God, it's a spiritual thing. And so, you know, we don't, it's a way they people like to refute, or so they think, post-millennialism. They say, oh no, the kingdom of God is spiritual. We're not promised, you know, victory in the earth and history. And it's just a division that I think is just totally uncalled for. Because what happens when people are spiritually saved? Well, it's going to affect the way they live their lives. You know, if a king becomes a Christian, what's he going to do? He's going to ask, how do I now rule as a Christian? When, you know, a drug dealer or, you know, so a criminal becomes a Christian, they're going to stop committing crimes. And the point is that spiritual realities, whether good or evil, whether someone's saved or spiritually depraved or even demonically possessed or influenced, it's going to have physical manifestations. And so while I believe that here in Revelation 9, these are describing demons coming up out of the pit and causing havoc and torment upon the earth, it's very, very likely that they did this in such a way as what did the demons often do in the biblical accounts? They possessed people, okay, and they caused people to harm themselves or torment other people and whatnot, torment themselves. And so it's very, very plausible that this demonic activity is not merely a spiritual tormenting here, but one that had physical manifestations that possessed other people even, and then caused harm through the other people. And in fact, I want to read a short bit here from Douglas Wilson's commentary on the book of Revelation, When the Man Comes Around. And he comments on this, describing, he believes as well that these are demonic figures coming up in Revelation 9. And here's what he says about this. He says, the demons imparted their characteristics to the men they came to possess. So there we have the idea of spiritual reality as having physical manifestations. Doug continues here. The demon-possessed tribe of Jerusalem's defenders. Just as a deaf and dumb spirit results in a deaf and dumb man, and an unclean spirit results in an unclean man dwelling among the tombs, so also this bizarre demon army created a vile army within the holy city. The demons descended not upon the green things and not upon the servants of God who had his mark, but on the men without such a mark. And here is part of Josephus's description of what happened. So Josephus is a historian who was alive during this time and documented the Jewish and Roman wars and the various things going on during this time that I believe is a fulfillment of the book of Revelation. And this is what Josephus describes here that we see could very possibly, and I believe, is a description of what is told to us in Revelation 9. Josephus writes thus, with their insatiable hunger for loot, they ransacked the houses of the wealthy, murdered men, and violated women for sport. They drank their spoils with blood, and from mere satiety and shamelessness gave themselves up to effeminate practices. Plaiting their hairs and putting on women's clothes, drenched themselves with perfumes, and painting their eyelids to make themselves attractive. They copied not merely the dress, but also the passions of women, devising in their excess of licentiousness unlawful pleasures in which they wallowed as in a brothel. Thus they entirely polluted the city with their foul practices. Yet, though they wore women's faces, their hands were murderous. They would approach with mincing steps, then suddenly become fighting men, and whipping out their swords from under their dyed cloaks, they would run through every passerby. And so that's Josephus's description here. These men that seemed to fit very well, they wore women's faces, they became effeminate, they looked like when they had these crowns on their head. And the point here is that these figures, this men becoming effeminate or putting on these effeminate characteristics and yet still being a man, and looking this way with makeups and, you know, hair and crowns and clothes, that is demonic activity. And as I mentioned, I believe this in Revelation was fulfilled then, as Josephus described, as I believe is warranted from the exegesis. Nevertheless, we see the reality that that sort of behavior is a demonic behavior. And when we see that today, men dressing up as women, the drag queens going around, children with all the makeup and the hair and the outfits, it is not a fulfillment of Revelation 9, but it is yet demonic behavior. And so I pray that as these things may continue to go on in our society for a time, that Christians would stand firm, we would protect our children, and we would fight with the power of the gospel, noting that this war is not a war against flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual warfare. And a spiritual warfare is fought with the power of the gospel, which has physical ramifications. And so I pray that we'd fight with the power of the gospel, we might see this sort of activity come to an end, and let it be yet again an unthinkable and abominable practice in our society again. Not because of physical force or violence, but because the gospel has triumphed and the power of Christ has overcome and driven out demons from our society. One final note I want to say along this line is, so often modern day Christians in the West who don't face what we think of as demonic activity as we see, particularly in the Gospels. People will read, remember we did this, you know, in youth group. I would think these things in youth group growing up. We'd read in the Gospels about Jesus driving out demons from demon-possessed people or the apostles in the book of Acts. And we think, man, that's real Christianity. Why don't we see demons and drive them out? We think, you know, somehow we're missing out on what real Christianity is. But the reality is, while that indeed was real Christianity, the driving out of the demons there in the first century, in the various times throughout history, and of course in other places in the world today, that's still a very real thing, and in various parts of the West now. But by and large, in, you know, middle class, affluent societies in the West, that's not something you normally face, unless you go to an abortion clinic, you'll see some of that. But nevertheless, it's not something up in front of our faces. We don't experience that. You can live and die as a Christian in the West and not experience that. And so we think, well, we're missing out. We're not being real Christians. We're too comfortable. We need to do something, you know, to experience this. But the gospel reality is that Jesus came with power to drive out demons. That means he came to drive them out of their strongholds, to overturn their strongholds in this earth, to drive them out so that their power is gone. And so as the gospel advances, as the kingdom of Christ continues to grow throughout the world, throughout history, demonic forces and strongholds will be overturned and run out so that they are no more, so that they no longer have strongholds in this earth. And so, yeah, living 2,000 years down the road of the first century, there's going to be a lot less demonic strongholds and activity and possessions in the world where Christianity has triumphed than it was there in the first century. And so we ought to be thankful if we live in such a place where we don't face that sort of thing. We ought to be thankful that the gospel has driven out the demonic strongholds. And obviously there are places in the world where that is a reality, and so we pray that the power of the gospel goes there, the kingdom advances there, and drives out the demonic forces. And so I say that to say, we are facing in our day a bit of a fight with the demonic activity in the pedophilic activities of men dressing as women and all these crazy outfits normalized in reading to children and all these things. Don't be mistaken, this is spiritual warfare. And it is the power of the gospel, the word of God, that is the power to overcome. We can be sure that it will. Thank you for listening.